Good morning, sir. What is your name?
Miguel Arrieta.
Okay, Miguel, who's gonna do anything? Okay, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will serve as the lead panelist for your hearing, sir. So just hang on.
I don't have these two for some reason.
Okay, I get it.
And can I have a microphone, please?
You can always use this one.
Okay, Mr. Arrieta.
Yes.
Could you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Miguel Arrieta, ADC number 270466.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. This is concerning the three allegations that are on your warrant.
Okay.
You were notified about this hearing on, let me find the date here quickly, on July 3rd. You signed a paper that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And on that paper is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, sir, or are you representing yourself?
I'm representing myself because I didn't hire an attorney.
That's okay. It's just, it's an option, but it's your right, so we want to make sure you have the right. I'd like to introduce you to the board, sir. If you look on the video screen to your right, so my left, down that way, on the very end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead today for your hearing. Also with us in the room, we have Mr. Respy, who is a parole officer with the Department of Corrections. He'll represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing.
Okay.
So, Mr. Arrieta and Mr. Respy, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Okay, and I see we also have a... do we have one guest or two? Will you both want to be speaking? Just you to speak? Okay. Is it Adriana?
Yeah.
Ocario? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Arrieta, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision. And then phase two, to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, sir, I'm going to read each of these allegations to you, and I need you to tell me if they're true or false. Okay, sir? So we'll start phase one. Here is the first allegation, and that is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of heroin on or about May 25th, 2018, per the TASC GCMS lab report dated June 14th, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
It's true. Okay. And allegation number 2 is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about May 25th, 2018, per the TASC lab report dated June 14th, 2018. Mr. Arrieta, is this true or false?
That's true.
True? Okay, sir. And then the third allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 5, as demonstrated by your act of unlawful behavior, and that's domestic violence, on or about May 29, 2018, in Pima County, Arizona. But before you respond, sir, I see that there's a booking number here, and I want to give you the opportunity, if you would like to do so, to you have your choice of true, false, or do you want to remain silent? And the reason for this is, these hearings are recorded, and if there were any legal action on this, they could subpoena this hearing and use it. So you'll have three choices on that one: true, false, or remain silent.
Well, I don't know what I should say, because that charge got dropped. The DV got dropped. because it was a domestic violence, it was just, I was just withdrawn. I didn't disrespect my mom or nothing like that.
Okay, so you just had the three choices, and you can pick any one of those three. So true or false, or remain silent?
I'll say false.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why they dropped the charges.
Okay. All right. Well, since you said false, we're going to ask for some testimony from Mr. Westby. So just hang on the line, and we're going to hear from Mr. Westby on that one.
According to Pima County Sheriff, the following occurred. On May 29, 2018, Pima County Sheriff Deputy Connor, badge number 1347, responded to 2841 West Drexel Road, Tucson, Arizona, 85746 in regards to a verbal domestic violence incident. Upon arrival, Deputy Conniff contacted Adriana Elcano, who indicated while she was in the kitchen, the defender had walked in and started to act up, causing a scene. Adriana Elcano indicated the defender was throwing himself on the floor, yelling and screaming about what pain he was in. Mrs. Elcano stated the defender had left detox this day. Deputy Lovato, who also responded to the incident, spoke to Adriana Elcano, who indicated that the defender was going through withdrawals and was causing a scene at the house. Based on the information, the defender was arrested for two counts of domestic violence and disorderly conduct. The defender was transported to Pima County Jail and booked on two counts of domestic violence and disorderly conduct. On May 30, 2018, an ADOC hold was placed on the offender at Pima County Jail. The offender is currently at ASPC Tucson. Victim Adriana Connell is the offender's sponsor and the offender's mother. And I might also add that the warrant was based on his behavior and not on whatever charges were brought.
Understood. Okay, sir. All right, Mr. Arrieta, just to move this hearing along, I'm gonna go ahead and make a motion. So hold on 1 second, and I'm gonna move that based on Mr. Arrieta's admission for allegations 1 and 2, and based on testimony of Mr. Westby of the Department of Corrections for allegation 3. I move to find Mr. Arrieta delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal race or company.
Second.
Agreed.
All right, seconded, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, so the board has just, we'll move to phase two. We just have found you in violation of your conditions of supervision. But in phase two, we will determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked, sir. So as we start phase two, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us all some background information about your case. So just stay on the line. We'll be right back to ask you some questions in a minute. Mr. Westby.
On February 12, 2018, Mr. Arrieta was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 29, 2018 by the Pima County Sheriff's Office on new felony charges and disorderly conduct, DV, two counts. He was back at the Department of Corrections on May 30th, 2018, with a projected community supervision end date of February 12th, 2019, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2012, theft, 2.5 years. 2012, armed robbery, 7.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score, 4.4. Mental health score 3, substance abuse score 1. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted member of the Southside Brown Pride Locos, Tucson Criminal Street Gang. He has no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs and alcohol noted. Other arrest, 2005, assault, Arizona juvenile probation. His community risk score is a G3B4. You have status of charges from Maria Gomez, dated July 10th, 2018, that states for Pima County Justice Court was not referred for prosecution.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Westby. All right, well, back to you, Mr. Arrieta, and I'll just briefly review. We have a few notes about, you know, what happened during your case supervision. It looks like you were released to live with your mother at 2831 West Drexel. And did you stay there the whole time? You lived there the whole time you were out?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And were you working, sir?
Yes.
And what were you doing? Where did you work and what did you do?
I worked at Stonehart Concrete. I was laying concrete.
Okay. So you're a concrete finisher?
for sure, yes.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's a good, good skill to have. Okay, but it looks like you were also referred to La Frontera. Let's see, and they sent you to substance abuse treatment there, and then anger management at community accountability, is that right?
Correct. I was supposed to start on Thursday.
Okay.
First.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Thursday was the 1st of June, but I was already violated.
Oh, okay, okay. And I see you were arrested on the 29th. Gotcha. Okay. But you went to a detox facility on the 29th and then left. So you didn't go through the stay at the detox facility. When'd you leave?
I did that by myself because like I seen that I didn't want to like do drugs that ain't me, you know, like, and I seen that because of the girl I was with, I was falling into that, and I just walked, I went to detox myself, but I didn't want my parole officer to find out, and I also wanted to make it for my counseling and everything, because the detox wanted me to be there for 7 days.
Right.
So then I just ended up checking out. And I didn't know the whole time I'm always keeping my parole officer updated, or else I would have just stayed in there, you know? And then I guess my parole officer told my mom that since I checked out that I'm going to be detoxing, and if I detox at the house, just call the sheriff's department.
Right.
My mom just followed orders. I would have never been out here if it wasn't.
So
my mom would never call the cops on me.
So did you know, I understand that. Did you know that you were going to have symptoms of detoxing?
I did. I never been to that.
Okay. Well, now you do. Now you know.
Yes.
It's pretty hard to take. Okay. It looks like you were also submitting your own specimens of task. And you, it looks like in February and March, you submitted specimens that tested positive for marijuana. But then you...
I had a medical marijuana card the whole time.
Right. But you need to have that approved ahead of time with your parole officer.
I did. I had it approved three times. Three copies I made to him because
okay.
He kept forgetting. He kept asking me, you don't drink for marijuana? And I was like, Robert, I gave you my medical marijuana card already.
Okay.
Three times I had to make it from.
But in April, in April it looks like you submitted a test that tested positive for meth. And then in March, April, and May, there were three times when your color was announced. But you didn't submit a specimen. Why didn't you submit a specimen?
No, I did. There was one time that I remember that I missed, but it was because I had to take a bus to task that day. And I just, you wait the next day. I called Robert while I was outside task. I was like, hey, they're closed. I didn't make on time. He was like, just go the next day. And I did.
Okay. Well, this says March 12th, April 30th, and May 22nd. It says you failed to submit specimens.
March 12th, April,
April 30th.
My color comes up once a month. So, like, there was only one time that I remember missing, and Robert notified.
Okay, well, this indicates number three. And then it says you also submitted one on May 7th that was adulterated because the specimen was 111 degrees. So that would suggest that the specimen was not inside your body, it was outside your body somewhere.
That's what they were trying to tell me, but I was like basically butt naked at task. I talked to the supervisor that day, Erickson, the senior parole officer Erickson,
uh-huh.
And he had me go drop another UA at that same day I seen him,
okay.
And that one came out negative. It was good.
Okay, well,
yeah,
we have that information. On May 25th, there was a saliva sample that tested positive for meth and opiates. So what opiate were you using, sir?
It was the heroin, the one I was in detox for.
Okay, so that was the heroin.
Yeah, and those results didn't come in until I was right here in DOC on violation already.
Okay, all right. Okay, so did you get to any of the anger management classes that you were assigned, or?
No, because that was all on one thing.
Okay.
I don't know if they're like that on June 1st, that was just going to be the intake.
Okay.
I mean, they tell you with me and everything. I was just getting started.
All right. Okay, so it looks like you had intake back in March, which is why I'm confused.
Because when I first originally went, they said I didn't need no anger management, I didn't need no drug substance abuse, they evaluated me.
Okay.
But then I ended up dropping dirty for meth, and that's when Robert was like, you need to go to La Frontera and do his counseling.
Okay.
And then he said I had to do anger management was, well, I had to do anger management because my charge was attempted armed robbery.
Right.
So it was a dangerous nature, so he told me that I had to do that. So all those classes I was going to start on Thursday, I was going to go do another evaluation.
All right, perfect. Thank you for that information. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have questions. Anybody have a question? Okay, Mr. Arietta, I'm going to give your supporter a chance to speak if she wants to. If you'd come up to the mic here, that'd be great. Hello, welcome. And start by just stating your name.
My name is Adriana Ocaña.
Thank you. Okay, what would you like to
do? I have a copy of what I brought in for each board member.
Sure. We'll have to keep it.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, thank you very much. And what would you like the board to know?
Can you just bear with me because this is the first time I
Oh, it's okay. We're just regular citizens, so.
I was listed as a victim.
Okay.
I brought here to support my son. Okay, and I just wanted to give a background of what had happened, just confirm what he did say. He did take, went, signed himself in to a rehab, unfortunately. I mean, it's not all to blame with the girl, but she walked out, he walked out. I picked him up at Costco at a parking lot. And I know that the police report that they did state that I was in the kitchen. That's not how it happened. And there is an amended report. However, I didn't have time to pick it up at the sheriff's department. Because I myself did pick him up at the parking lot of Costco where he was shivering. And I believe that the temperature on that day was like 101. Yes. And, of course, I never expected to see my son that way. I picked him up, took him home. And I don't think he even recalls the way home because he was completely like just shaking and he was curled up. When we did get home, he did start getting kind of loud, but it wasn't directly towards me. It was more like he was upset because his vehicle was not there. It's a car that my daughter had given him, which we probably did make a mistake in supporting him that way when he was released. The vehicle was to be used to go to counseling, to go to job, to go to work. However, he decided to get a girlfriend and go riding around and do what he was not supposed to be doing. So that part was taken away from him. And from one second to another, he just started with his withdrawals. And I was afraid because that had never happened in my family, so I have never witnessed that. And I had spoken to Mr. Tafoya prior to that, which we both did agree, me calling the police if he did go through a withdrawal. And at that time, Mr. Tafoya said that's the only way he would be able to probably get a court order for him to attend substance abuse or rehab. And that's why I contacted the police. There was no domestic violence, but being that it happened in my home and I'm his mom, they consider it domestic violence. In the packet, I do have the two letters for my husband and myself from the prosecutor stating that those charges were dismissed. And in that packet, I also submitted copies of the things he was required to complete, which was the access, getting his driver's license, obtaining insurance for his vehicle. He completed the assessment at La Frontera. However, later on, and the copy is there from La Frontera, he was requested to go sign in for services, which he was not able to attend because he had already been arrested. And also, a copy of his medical card. And I went ahead and submitted the check stubs of April 6th through May 26th, where he was employed. He was getting paid weekly. And then also, he was scheduling the appointments and completing his UAs. And then at the end, I'm not sure about if I'm able to make a recommendation, but I just believe that he would benefit a lot from, if he was released to the counseling and rehab. I just feel, at this time, that's what he needs in order for him to be successful and be a productive citizen.
All right. Does the board have any questions for Ms. Ocaña? No? Okay. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Westby has some information to add, too.
Yes, I'm reviewing the chrono notes here, and there's an entry here on May 22nd, 2018, which is a week before Mr. Arietta was arrested. And this is from P.O. Tafoya, saying sponsor Adriana Ocaña, indicated offenders on stand for residence has not stayed with residents for 4 days and only came today and left. And looks bad, using math to indicate the defendant had not been staying with residents for 3 weeks and only comes and goes. Mr. Tafoya ended up attempting to contact the offender, had him come into the office and left a letter, which he did on May 25th. And the offender indicated that he was living out of his pre-residence at home and indicated sobriety. It was at that point that they did the saliva test. And of course, that takes, you know, a few days, so they did not get the sample back until after the incident occurred on the 29th, when it says sponsored examiner condo call indicated the offender was taking an American rehab campus for detox. However, left the facility this afternoon. Sponsor indicated the offender had been at times disruptive at home, and she does not want him to stay there when he acts this way. So he would not be allowed to reside with their residence if he was released in the pending.
All right, thank you, Mr. Westby. All right, Mr. Arrieta, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Is there anything else you've thought of that you, without repeating something you've already told us?
Yeah, just that. No, like what the officer said, the parole officer, his name is my parole officer, he said that I checked into the rehab on the 29th and then checked out. I checked out on the 28th. I was there for a whole day before I checked out. And that 3 weeks that he was talking about that I didn't know, Robert talked to me and it was only a couple of nights. And I was with my Dion. I was with my aunt. I wasn't more than a couple of nights I was away from the house. I was always at my residence. And that being said, like, if you guys do give me another opportunity to make it out to the streets, like, I would want to go to rehab because I don't want to fall back into, like, that experience was not for me and I didn't like that experience whatsoever. But I don't think that I'm a threat to society and I could be productive and I could make it, I could finish my parole, I know I could. I just want to let you guys know that.
Okay, sir, thank you. Yes, and we're glad you're better after the withdrawal experience, but hope that you keep that in your mind for the rest of your life, that you know what that's like, because that could happen again if you don't stay away from the heroin, sir. Okay, Mr. Arrieta, the board is going to go into discussion. And we do all discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law, so we haven't talked about your case before right now. And we just ask that you stay on the phone and remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment, sir. Okay? Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Arrieta is a pretty young man here. Yes, a very young man. And has gotten involved in using methamphetamine and heroin, and it sounds like there's an influence of he mentioned a woman that he was with who was also using drugs. He, because of the arrest for domestic violence, would not be able to live at his mother's house. He would have to live somewhere else until the completion of his parole term. He has indicated a willingness to go to treatment, although the board does not have any authority to place him in a specific treatment facility. He has a relatively short criminal history, just the one term in prison, although one of the crimes is a violent crime, armed robbery, and has a juvenile assault in his history. I'm not seeing him as a good candidate for return to community supervision, but I would listen to any input from fellow board members. No comments from fellow board members, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion based on information in warrant number 2018-W1578. Our conversation with Mr. Arrieta, information provided by Mr. Westby. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Arrieta was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by continuing to use illegal drugs while he was on community supervision.
Second.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed by Dr. White, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Arietta, you were the board's discretion, and the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. We're showing you with a release date of February 12th of 2019, so that's just a few months away, 6 months or so away, sir. And we certainly wish you the best, and I truly meant when I said I hope that that experience is etched into your mind, because what we want for you is for you to be safe and healthy, and we hope that we never see you again in orange in front of this board. I have a feeling that might happen for you, because I don't think you, I think you've learned from this experience. But at any rate, we wish you the best, sir, and if you, your hearing is over, if you would put the CO3 back on the phone, we'd appreciate it, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much, sir.